loudly said go.
Oh, well.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I like that. You're like, go!
God, what's wrong with you?
As you can see, we're still working out the kinks. Hi, welcome to another episode of Creepy Kitsch Podcast. I am Cindy, and with me is Stacy.
The ever-present partner in crime and the bad idea that lurks just behind your shoulder.
Oh, yes. And we have returned.
Yeah, just when you guys thought that you could restore your balance levels to their factory settings, we're here to fuck them up again.
Yes, and I actually think our sound quality might have improved just a bit.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So far, so good.
I need to get us a new mic, because I know I was told my sibilance was terrifying.
Yes, you were popping your peas all over the place.
I know. That's because I'm from the theater.
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that you've got the... I think it has more to do with the fact that you've got the little... you've got, like, the actual microphone, whereas I'm just yelling at my computer, so...
Well, I got a shitty little gamer mic I stole from my husband, so...
True love, baby.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, we're back, and actually, I wanted to give another shout-out thank you to a couple people... to Bonehand.
I was gonna say, yeah, Bone Bat Radio.
Yep. And to Matthew from who reads our blog, who's been loyally reading our blog for a long time.
No shit. He's the guy with the skeevy Hannah Montana icon, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's him. He's been with us as long as Naj.
Right. God love him both.
Thanks to you guys for your recommendations on sound quality. You guys gave us a really good heads up. So hopefully as the show progresses, it'll get better and better.
Yeah, just think, someday we can think back on this as an embarrassing lapse in our judgment.
I love, my favorite is Roy from SassyCast finally, like, listened to our first episode.
Oh, did he?
And he loved it, but he was like, I love how totally unpolished and raw you are. And I'm like... whether to, like, slap your fucking face or to give you a big fucking kiss.
Yeah, no shit. Are you legitimately complimenting us, or is this some form of back-ass...
Nah, he was legitimately complimenting
right.
us. He's a doll, so...
Yeah, and if you guys aren't listening, you should definitely check out SassyCast, because that's some pretty funny shit.
Yeah. You can find that on iTunes. And speaking of iTunes, now you can find us on iTunes.
Yes! We're finally... Pod-caught. I was just trying to think of what I was trying to say. And, so drink.
We're still working out the blog talking over each other thing.
Yeah, so. We do this in person, too.
Oh, yeah. But we are finally on the iPoons. That's, yeah.
Sounds like a porn database.
I'm drinking right now. We are finally on the iTunes store, so if you go to the podcast section and you search for us, you will find Creepy Kitsch.
In all of its raw and unpolished glory.
Yes. Beautiful, unpolished glory.
Indeed, indeed. Bounteous, bosomy glory.
Oh, yes. And, yes, big, bounty, bosomy.
Oh, yeah. And between the two of us, we could keep a bra manufacturing company in the plush life.
Oh, yeah. And, I'll go into that later, because we'll be, like, talking forever, but...
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, before we get started, I have to, talk... about this, because I don't think you've watched it yet, but I have, and a lot of people have been talking about it in other podcasts and on blogs, but I watched the trailer for The Human Centipede.
Oh, God, I'm terrified of that.
I laughed my ass off, I'm sorry. I think that makes me a really terrifying person, because I laughed my ass off, but I did. It was so absurd. It was like to the point where I'm watching the entire trailer going... This is a joke, right?
Oh, really? So, see, maybe if I actually watch the trailer, I won't be quite as upset by the.
Well, I am upset about the poo eating.
Yeah, see that? I'm like trying to like work out the logistics where it would work, but it wouldn't actually ever have to like be technically in your mouth, and that's when I realized that maybe I'm thinking too much about the concept of the human centipede and should just have a glass of water and maybe go to bed.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's gonna be one of those movies where it's all about this crazy mad scientist chasing women around, and at the very end it's like, look, the human centipede credits.
Yeah, probably. Well, I think that I don't think it's just chicks though.
I think we don't see the poo eating, but I think it's not talked about a lot. In fact, in the trailer there's like this, it made me laugh, and I know it's trying to be serious, and it's probably a serious movie. For all I know, it's a good movie. But the fact that the mad scientist who's German, not just German, but German, you
know, he's 10 like, years ago, he would have been a Nazi.
He totally would have been a Nazi. He might have been a Nazi in the film for all I know, but he's got the slick back hair and the dark circles under his eyes, and he's really tall, and he's got the mad scientist, Dr. Horrible, like, scientist jacket on.
Right.
And the big, long gloves, and he's, like, got this projection on the wall in one of the scenes, and it's this crude drawing of these, like, little stick figures with that are all mouth to anus.
Oh, God.
And he's, like, describing it, going, we will hook up the graphite to the skin to the buttocks, and I'm, like... And that's when I lost it. And
I can see why, yeah.
I lost my mind laughing, and he was like, I can't believe you're laughing at this. I'm like, but it's funny!
At this juncture, is he really surprised by the things you laugh at? I mean, really?
No. The thing is he's really more of the crude, twisted, sick person in this relationship, and that's why I think it was funny that I turned to his head when I started laughing at the human centipede.
I was going to say, if he was claiming he was shocked by this juncture, I was going to call it shenanigans, but...
I thought it was shenanigans until I watched the trailer, and now I'm like, this is hilarious, and I don't think I'm going to go see it in the theater because I'm not into the, you know, that kind of poo-eating genre.
No,
you call it.
No.
But I, yeah.
I'm lacking, apparently, that preference for the poo-eating genre, so I'll probably miss it in theaters, too.
I'm pretty sure that's a special niche right there.
Yeah. Although, if it ever even came to Ellensburg, I would laugh my ass off. If it comes to Ellensburg, I'll go see it in the theater.
I actually heard it's getting a...
Huh? Say again? And you're breaking up.
Release.
Really? Well, it can get all the wide release it wants. That doesn't mean it's coming to Ellensburg. We have we're a town of about 15,000.
Well, touche.
Exactly. So if it comes to Ellensburg, oh, I'll fucking go see it.
Yeah, well, I'm in San Diego, so.
Well, yeah, like San Diego's slightly different than small town and, you know, small agricultural town in central Washington.
See, and that's why you come visit me.
Hey, Mishy.
Why?
You would have fun if you came to Ellensburg. But yes,
sure
I love San Diego, so.
As much as the next person, so.
What'd you say?
I said I love corn growing as much as the next person.
No, fucker, it's hay.
Okay, I was close.
Get it right. Timothy Hay.
Sorry, hay.
You bitch. And I could take you to, you know, orchards. I could be like, yep, we grow apples in Washington. And then later on, I'll take you on campus and show you where Ted Bundy murdered a girl.
Awesome.
Yep.
Sign me up. I'm getting on the next plane.
Yep, apples, timber, and serial killers. That's Washington's three main exports, and not in that order.
Segment now.
Yes, I did. Yes, this is the fuck off segment. I would just like to say fuck off to this entire fucking day. This entire, you know, normally Fridays are a happy day. I get to class. I realized I left my fucking breakfast at home. I fortunately found half of a stale granola bar in my backpack, so I didn't feel quite like I was going to throw up by the time all three of my classes went by, but I was pretty fucking pissed off. And then I actually attended my Friday class for my third history class, and I really fucking wish I had just skipped it as I had originally intended. Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm a senior in the history program, and to be fair, this is a 101 class, so, you know, it's aimed at, like, freshmen and non-majors. Mm-hmm. But basically, we all have to break up into groups so that we can figure out how to write this paper. And then the groups have to go sit with other groups, and then we have to go sit with other groups, and everybody has to talk about what they wrote, and it's just like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's pretty much typical college bullshit.
Oh, God, I hate group projects. Even if all you're doing is for that class period, I hate it with just detestation that defies language, essentially.
With the, burning flames and hatred of 1,000 burning nuns.
Yes, and those were really pissed off nuns when they were lit on fire.
Pissed off flaming nuns.
Yes.
There's not much more hateful than that.
Yes, and so it's just like, I mean, I don't, like, hate the grad student who's teaching the class, but it's just such a pointless fucking waste of my Friday. I mean, seriously.
Well,
Yes, I am. And I have alcohol, and life is good once more.
See, there you go. And I do too, actually, because we are recording on a Friday.
Well, of course. I was thinking, you know, I live by myself. I could probably develop a, you know, a couple of pretty good, what's the word I'm looking for? A couple of pretty good earmarks for alcoholism. Yeah, but you drink with pirates. You have a reason.
Greetings are for quitters.
Of course, you've seen how quick I get drunk, so the concept of
Oh,
me
I know.
actually ever
It
being able to
comes to
make
great,
it to full
great
fledged.
delight when you come down here and get your ass drunk.
Oh
So.
yeah. You should just start
Exciting.
selling tickets.
Oh, it's great. You were showing your panties to everyone.
Well, you know, they were cute panties, damn it.
They actually were very cute panties, I will say
You
that.
know, they had skull and crossbones on them,
Oh.
and I was partying with pirates. I felt it was appropriate to share.
Yeah, and you did.
I did.
Generous.
Yes, I'm a giving person in that respect.
So should we get to the point now?
Yes, I think we should. Do you have anything you want to tell the
Okay.
fuck off real fast?
Actually, this was a pretty good week, so
All right.
I probably will next week because I work in customer
I was gonna
service.
say, I've heard the stories.
So I'll take over the weekly fuck off
Next week?
next week, or next recording session, whatever
Okay,
I
sounds
want.
like a plan. All right,
Awesome.
so we want to start. Okay, so the theme this week was, or I should say this interim, was horror movie or horror comedies that were not Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
We have no, obviously no beef with Shaun of the Dead. I mean, I have a fucking
I
poster
love
for
Shaun
it on my bedroom door. But Shaun of the Dead is unfortunately becoming one of those movies that you sort of have to lump in with several other classics of the horror genre, in which it would just be completely derivative. Like The Evil Dead. Everybody reviews the Evil Dead movies. Other than screaming blood flood every time Bruce Campbell gets drowned in some form of goo, I have nothing new to bring to this.
I'm true, and it's not like we do not like those
No,
films,
I
because I
love them.
love those films. It's just we really have nothing new to say about them other
Exactly.
than that was awesome. Wasn't that awesome?
Exactly. That was really funny. You guys should check it out.
That was awesome. We turned into like the Chris Farley movie
Yeah, pretty
review
much.
thing.
Pretty much. I'll do something stupid and then you can make some cutting comment and be the David Spade to my Chris Farley.
Then you can slap your forehead and be
Yep.
stupid, stupid.
And then go live in a van down by the river. Okay, we've beat that stereotype to death. Moving on. But yeah, so the three movies we chose were The Fearless Vampire Killers, which is a favorite of mine, Vampires Anonymous, and then Undead, which is it's Australian, isn't it? Or was it New
New
Zealand?
Zealand, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. A New Zealand horror comedy, which I have to say, you know, I caught this one once way back when just on cable, and I did not get the point at all. And then I bought it because I found the DVD for super cheap, and I enjoyed it way the hell more the second time.
I felt the same way about Vampires Anonymous,
Oh,
actually.
really? Dude, I love that movie.
I just realized we chose two vampire films.
I know, which is really
We should have just
funny.
found another one and just be like,
We should have, yeah,
horror
we should have been
comedies.
like, you know, the
So, why don't
vampire
we start
genre
with
needed it.
Fearless Vampire Killers?
Yes, a Roman
All right.
Polanski movie. In fact, it is the movie where he met his future wife and Charles Manson victim, Sharon Tate.
And she's actually quite beautiful.
Yes, she's jaw-droppingly beautiful in this. I
Yeah,
was
she is
actually
like
thinking,
striking.
while I was watching it, you know, you do the Labyrinth of Jared, Jareth,
Yeah, the
excuse me, the
Labyrinth
Labyrinth
of
of Jareth.
Mothballs up in LA.
And wouldn't her costume at the end be like an awesome costume to do?
You know, the sad part is, while I was watching that movie, I was thinking, oh man, I want to make that. She
Oh,
has
I
a
totally
gorgeous
was too. The
red dress.
decaying red dress and her
And the
striking
fabulous, like,
red
period,
hair
but
and.
60s styled still hair. It was like fabulous.
That color that will never ever occur in nature.
Oh yeah. It was fun. So actually, what the movie basically is about, these two, there's not much to it
No.
actually. It's two vampire killers, an old professor.
Yeah, Professor
Sir.
Abrasius, is that his name?
Abronzius. I always thought it was
Abronzius.
saying Ambrosius, but I know that's wrong. So,
Speaking of Jareth.
yeah. And so it's
And then Martin.
Ambrosius, Professor Ambrosius, who's an old coot, and then his sidekick Alfred, which is actually
Alfred,
also
yeah.
played by Roman Polanski,
Right.
who is not an attractive man,
No,
actually.
but you know the funny thing is I find Roman Polanski as a human being pretty fucking repellent given his behavior. You know, once you rape a 12-year-old, I kind of strike you off of the okay to have around my kids list.
Yeah, I actually have a question for you about that, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. But I have to say, in this role as Alfred, he was fucking adorable.
He was, but I couldn't get the child molester out of
I know. And then every time you saw Sharon Tate, it would just be like, ugh, if only I could go back in time.
Yeah. I think that, well, anyway, I'll go back to the plot, and then we'll go back to,
right.
back to what I was going to say. So it's these two vampire hunters, quote-unquote, and they go to the old country.
Yeah, well, it is Transylvania. They say at the beginning it is Transylvania.
It's Transylvania, and it's stereotypical old country.
Oh, yeah.
And they
replete
go there
replete with
to
stupid peasants.
Down a vampire. That's
well,
pretty much it.
And the professor is, like, a genius, and he's come up with this whole vampire theory, and, like, nobody believes him.
Yeah.
Because they said at the beginning that, like, his colleagues address him as the nut.
Well, that's also because if you look at him, he kind of looks like a nut.
Oh, yeah. You know who that was who played that role?
He's got the Einstein hair, and he's just a little crazy, yeah.
You know who that was who played that role?
Jack McGowan.
Yeah.
He was the guy from The Exorcist.
I know! I saw that, and my jaw fucking dropped. He was the guy who played Burke Dennings. Chris McNeil's director, who ended up Peter Panning down the steps in The Exorcist.
I'm sorry.
And ended up with his head facing the wrong way.
Yeah, and he did a bunch of other stuff, but that was the one that I remember him mostly from.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also... sorry. Drinking.
It's okay.
So, I have this, like, magical useless ability where I can spot somebody in a movie and then think of another obscure role that they were in. And the guy who played their driver at the beginning of the movie was the ancient guy in The Neverending Story who has my favorite line in the whole movie where he screams, "To the winch, wench."
What the hell?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, the guy who, like, explains the whole thing about the gates, the eastern gates and all of that.
I can't believe you recognized him.
Yep. Told you. It's my mutant ability.
Oh my god. That's funny.
That if I was an X-Man, I would be, like, invaluable to the Internet Movie Database.
You totally would. You'd be invaluable to the X-Men going, "Hey, you see that guy? I saw him murder someone, like, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Maine."
Probably. Probably.
So anyway, they go, the professor and his sidekick, Alfred, pretty much go to the old hunt down vampires.
Right.
And it turns out that they came to the right place because is one vampire.
They got a fucking vampire problem there.
They definitely have a fucking vampire problem. And it's a little weird.
yeah, well, see, the thing I love about this movie is, okay, for starters, the score is creepy as all get out.
I love the music score.
Oh, that's I did too.
It's fantastic.
And it's eerie as hell. And so the score, there's like, no, music will be playing as, like, slapstick is going on, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not just slapstick. It's not, like, ham-fisted slapstick. It's, like, bumbling fuck-up slapstick that you're, like, totally believing.
It's like watching rednecks on YouTube. Where
yeah, exactly.
Just, like, amused by the stupidity, but...
But at the same time, like, you gotta shake your head and just be like, really? And so it's like your basic, vampire story. The fearless vampire killers of the title have to save the girl from the evil vampire. And, well, let's just say
hilarity
ensues. Yeah, hilarity really fucking did ensue. And things did not quite go according to plan.
Yeah, it was, this was the first time I actually watched Fearless Vampire Killers, or I like the subtitle, or Pardon Me, But Your Teeth Are in My Neck.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Which actually I love. I think I need to watch it again, because I don't know if I was in the right frame of mind for it, because after a while, like, I liked it, and then it got kind of slow, and then it got really good, and then it got kind of slow for me. So I thought there was a pacing problem.
Okay, yeah, I would really recommend, like, maybe drinking a couple of beers, sitting back, watching it again. Because I really do think you laugh your ass off.
This one watching with friends. Huh? I think this would be a fun one to watch in a group.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's really silly.
Oh, it's very silly. It does not take itself seriously in the slightest.
No, not at all. And but it has a few pacing problems for me.
Right.
But I'd say out of the three films, this was my least favorite. But it wasn't horrible by any stretch of the imagination. I think I might give it another chance and watch it again, because I think it's one of those movies you have to watch twice to really catch all the jokes.
Yeah.
And I did love the costuming.
Yeah.
And I loved the set design. It was so fun. The one thing that always cracks me up about, and I think that they really played into this, I think it was completely done on purpose, was when we had the professor and Alfred, and they go finally make it to the vampire, the Count von Korlax.
No,
he was a count.
Yeah, okay.
When they went to his castle, finally, and everything is covered in cobwebs.
Oh, yeah. Like, not just cobwebs, but, like, matted. The firewood is covered in it.
It was just hilarious to me, because it was like, there was cobwebs everywhere, and I really got a kick out of that, because it was getting to the point where, like, Jack McGowan would, like, lay down and then get back up, and there'd be cobwebs in his hair.
Uh-huh, stretching behind him everywhere he goes. Now, I have to talk about the best character in this movie. Can you guess where I'm going?
Possibly. There's a lot of good characters in this film, actually.
I want to talk about the Count's incredibly fae son, Herbert.
Yes, Herbert!
Who is gay as a day in May, also a vampire, and he has got...
He's away from a drag queen.
Oh, God, he's got a hardcore fang on for poor Alfred, and the scenes where they're sitting on his bed and all he's wearing is his nightshirt, oh, my God, I was squirming so hard watching that.
And he had those skinny little legs, which really, really made me laugh.
Well, and then he goes hairing off and chasing poor Alfred through the castle, and it's like, dude, if he catches him, he's not going to bite him. He's going to rape him. You need to run, little sidekick, because more than your neck is at stake here. And I love, too, I love, too, when the Count, you know, he's got them trapped in the battlements, and he's basically like, you're fucked, you're going to become vampires. How he goes, and your assistant will make a marvelous companion for my son, who has a sensitive and gentle nature.
Alfred, his eyes get huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was actually my favorite.
And oh, God.
He was just like, oh, why don't you sit down and uh-huh. I'll touch your face.
Oh, you're so pale. Come lay down in my bed. You'll feel better. And it's just
I have to admit, the movie really picked up when they got to the castle. And then you met Herbert. And I laughed my butt off. He was, like, totally, like, he was more gay than Tom Cruise's Lestat.
Oh, God, yes. I, you know, now that you say that, I can actually see, like, a reflection of each other there.
Same, like, coifed hair, perfectly coifed hair.
Right.
And his little pale, powdered blue suit.
And he's even wearing, like, the powder blue night shirt when he's chasing poor Albert around. Or Alfred.
Gotta become coordinated.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he had that pale blonde thing going on. He knew how to rock the colors that worked for him.
And there was always, for some reason, maybe I just read into it, but it always looked like the Count was always slightly embarrassed.
Say again?
Herbert was a little swishy.
Oh, yeah.
It always looked like the Count was slightly embarrassed because Herbert was a little swishy.
Oh, yeah. A little swishy?
Really swishy.
Yeah, super fucking swishy. Dude, you would get fucking seasick if you stood next to him. He was so damn swishy.
He was my favorite character.
Oh, God, I laughed so hard. I mean, every time he was on screen, it's like, yes, it's Herbert, the flaming vampire. Tell me more, Herbert. Tell me more.
That's great. And the ballroom scene was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
I liked how everyone looked like someone just beat the crap out of them in the scene. Everyone had, like, dusty wigs and torn clothes.
Uh-huh. It was basically like
they were hungover.
It was like the zombies from Thriller 200 years before the fact, basically.
Yeah, it was hilarious because they're all supposed to be vampires and they're having their vampire ball because that's what vampires do, apparently.
Yeah, once a year
but
in December.
I thought it was clever that, you know, they all climbed out of their graves and they all looked like they just climbed out of their graves.
Oh, yeah.
Those were not pretty vampires.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of shit festooned with cobwebs, man, a couple of those vampires look like the set designer went ape shit with the aerosol spray.
It was like they, like, stood still too long and the set designer just came by.
Exactly, it was just like a wave of fake cobwebs.
Yeah, I had that one old lady where she had the crooked wig and she had, like, either a horn up to her ear.
Yeah, she had the hearing horn.
She never moved.
Nope. Even when they took out her two companions there.
Yeah, she just stood there. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Well, and that brings me to my second favorite scene, which is the whole thing that cracks me up with Alfred and Sarah's sort of romance is that, you know, they sort of tried to set up that Sarah maybe thought he was cute at the beginning, because there was the whole thing where he's, like, building the snowman and she's watching him through the window.
She's, like, flirting with him through the window.
Right, but then, like, once the vampire showed up, it was like, she was just like, oh, hi. Yeah, they're gonna give me some shit, so.
Yeah, she's like, oh, everything's great, and she's bathing in that bathtub that had green stains on them, and I can't possibly fathom, and I was like, oh, honey, get out of there. You don't know what that is. That was the dirtiest bathtub I've ever seen in my life.
That is going to do something to that dye job, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
But when he meets up with her and they're dancing the minuet or whatever it is at the ball, and you know, he's got like 15 seconds to say something to her because they're just in passing, and he's like, I found you. And then goes off to dance with someone else. Life has meaning once more, and he goes off to dance with somebody else. I'm going to save you. And he goes off and dances with somebody else.
That was actually one of my favorite scenes. Like I said, it really picked up for me once they made it to the castle.
Right.
Like, the whole scenes when they were in the inn, I know that it's establishing character and all that, but it just didn't do it for me. Once they got into the castle, I was much more into it.
Right.
That's why I think I need to see it again. The one thing that I was laughing about was how I'm still trying to fathom how Sarah came from parents that she came from.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some ugly, ugly old country people.
Well, you know, because they're supposed to be like, you know, Romanian, or I assume trans. I don't know if Transylvania is separate from
old
Romania.
Country.
Yes, very old country.
Very old country.
But somebody once made a comment. I couldn't tell you who. It was something I was reading online. How they said that Russian women, and I think they said Romanian women, tended to be, like, some of the most beautiful women in the world, and as soon as they got old, it went downhill in a hurry. So
that's so sad.
So I can kind of see that.
All the Russian and Romanian listeners.
Hey, I didn't say it was the truth, and it was the 60s, man. It was an ugly time.
Yeah, true. There weren't a lot of good-looking people in the 60s. Mm-mm. Well, that was actually, what, late 60s?
Yeah, I want to say 66 or 67.
Yeah, 67. 67 to, like, 71 was, like, a really ugly period in the human race.
Well, let's not tell lies, man. The 70s was a lot of things, but pretty it wasn't.
No, that was an ugly period. That was pretty much, 67 was pretty much the beginning of the ugly human race period.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
So I actually had a question for you.
Huh?
Since we touched on Roman Polanski and his antics, his real-life antics.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, it was just something I was thinking about while watching the movie. I know both that, and those of you who have read the blog know both that Stacey and I kind of have a deep-seated anger towards Jeepers Creepers.
Yes, yes, we do.
And part of that is because the filmmaker was a convicted child molester.
Yeah, he went to jail.
How did you feel about watching this film knowing that Roman Polanski was that same thing? Do you feel the same kind of anger toward that?
Well, I don't feel the same anger, and this is horrible to admit, but this is a good movie, and Jeepers Creepers was not.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
And I didn't have... See, the thing with Roman Polanski, don't get me wrong, I think he's a total creeper, and you know, I find what he did to be completely loathsome, but I don't get the impression that he's a dyed-in-the-wool pedophile. Mm-hmm. I think he's more of an opportunist who just happens to like, you know, younger girls, and, you know, the fact that this chick was 12 obviously puts him firmly in the pedophile camp, but he obviously had no problems banging women who were fully established adults.
Well, yeah.
Victor Salva, the director and writer of Jeepers Creepers, is a pedophile. I mean, the kid he attacked was like 10 years old, I think, when he did that. And not only did he do it, he filmed himself doing it. In fact, that's how they caught him. So,
which is just the stupidest thing you could possibly do.
Oh, fuck yes. Fuck yes. And the thing with...
Actually
with,
molesting a child, that's the stupidest
thing. Right. So the two stupidest things you can do. And the thing with Victor Salva that upsets me is you can see his preferences in his filming style. Whereas with Roman Polanski, yeah, in real life, I think he's a total fucking creeper. But you don't get that creepy pedo vibe in his film style.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with you on that one. There was something creepy about Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2, mm-hmm. the way it was filmed, whereas, I mean, I do, like I said, I don't think Roman Polanski should be forgiven
no.
because he's a talented artist. I like his films, not all of them, but I like his films because I think he's a talented artist, but I'd probably punch the guy in the face
exactly.
for doing what he did. So,
and, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like, everybody should go burn Victor Salva's house down. The guy served his time. To the best of my knowledge, he stayed clean. But at the same time, when you're watching these you know, his movies, and you feel like you have to take a shower afterwards.
Yeah. But, I gotta admit, watching Fearless Vampire Killers, which was a fun film, it still kind of gave me a little bit of a weird feeling, just because, one, the whole lawsuit going against Roman Polanski right now, and two, this was where he met his wife, who was later murdered, and all
yeah.
that. So it almost gave the whole film, which was nice, almost a melancholy feeling about
yeah.
it, too.
Oh, yeah, I would totally agree. Because
and I don't think that was intentional when the film was made. I think
no.
that's just what history did to the film.
No, oh no, oh no, you're totally correct. I mean, it's hard not to look at somebody like Sharon Tate. I mean, she was in all, you know, in every aspect of what happened to her, she was a victim. And then on top of it, shortly after it happened, the press and various other extremist agencies attempted to vilify her. You know, so you'll blame the victim. Routine.
Yeah.
And the simple truth of the matter is nobody deserves what happened to Sharon Tate.
Well, no. Nobody deserves
nobody. And the fact
that
she was an innocent mother, you know, who was just looking forward
yeah.
to the birth of her child makes it that much uglier. And so it's hard to look at somebody, and you see her in Fearless Vampire Killers, and she's so beautiful, and she was a really talented actress. I mean, I don't think she was ever going to...
She was very good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she was heading for the Oscar scene, but I don't think that's where she wanted to be, at least not at that juncture.
I don't think you'd put her in the, like, class of, like, the classical actresses there, but she had, you know, that whole thing of the It Girl? She had
exactly.
that certain charisma
mm-hmm.
about her that some actresses have that you're kind of, and not just her beauty, she just
no,
has that
she had a spark.
Extra something there
yeah.
that draws you to her. You can't deny how gorgeous she was in that film.
No,
she was
not
just
at all.
So beautiful and so innocent, and I mean that's the reason that people say she embodied that whole, you know, the 1960s innocence.
Exactly. And then her murder essentially
and
effectively
when she
killed
died,
it.
Pretty much, I mean, that was one of the big things that killed, you know, the 1960s innocence was
yep.
part of it was her death, and part
exactly.
of it was a lot of other shit too. But yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, yeah, and it's just, you know, and with something like the Manson murders, it's like that is so weird, regardless of who's involved. You know, that's the kind of shit you read about and you think, what, you know, I mean, obviously it happened, but there's like a disconnect when you read about it where you're like, there's no way this could happen. Somebody couldn't do that to another human being, but you can disconnect all you want and it's still true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's such a bizarrety to it as well. And so now, unfortunately, whenever people hear the name Sharon Tate, you know, they don't think she was a talented actress. They think she's the poor woman who
was
murdered,
that was murdered.
Along
yeah,
with all
it's...
of her house guests by Charles Manson's creepy little cult. So
yeah, it's sad. And now that we ended this,
yeah, exactly. Now that we brought it way the fuck down.
You're welcome.
Exactly.
That was just me trying to be like, you know, putting an interesting question out there. And
no, I think it
now
was.
I need some Prozac. And
yeah, pretty much. Take a big drink.
But, yeah, I would actually recommend this. It's, like I said, it's probably the least favorite of the three we watched.
Right.
I think I need to give it another chance, because it does drag a lot in the beginning. But once you get to the castle, and you meet, you know, Swishy Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a lot more entertaining.
He's the swishiest. And, dude, did they have the biggest fangs you've ever seen in a vampire?
Those were, like, what, 2 inches long.
It's like... It's like they opened up their mouth, and instead of fangs, they just stuck banana nerds on their teeth. That's totally what it looked like. It's like
I know. I was like, how do you even close your mouth?
How have you not perforated your bottom lip to the point where you can just pull it off like, you know, like perforated paper?
I know. It was hilarious. There was a lot of things about that film that just really cracked me up. And it's a very subtle comedy. So I think that's why I want to watch it again, because I wasn't quite sure what to expect from it.
Uh-huh.
So I need to watch it again to really catch all the subtleties. There's so many little subtle jabs and satires of the whole Hammer horror films and the vampire legends and the old,
oh, yeah.
old black and whites. There's
and just like
really
some of their reactions too, like when the professor's stuck in the little chute that they slid down into the crypt before the count and his son have risen, and he's trying to talk. Is it? It's Albert, right?
Alfred.
It is Alf. Fuck, you know, that's my mother's twin brother's name. You'd think I'd be able to fucking remember that. Anyway, but he's trying to coerce Alfred into doing it, and Alfred's like shitting himself, and he won't even open his eyes. And
my question through that entire scene was, of all the people you get, Alfred, who's this pudgy little thing, makes it through that little window with no problem.
I know, and yet
the anorexic guy can't get it through the damn window.
I think it's because he's all fucking head.
I think that's what it is. I think his hip bones stuck out too far or something.
He was like a mashup of like Albert Einstein and Diggory's creepy uncle in The Magician's Nephew of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series. He was just like...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He was like a mushroom on a toothpick.
He was. He was like, yeah, he had this just giant head and tiny little body.
Uh-huh. And there's just skinny legs.
Yeah, so that's why I kept laughing, going, well, how did he get stuck in that...
I thought the same damn thing. I'm like, of all people, you think the professor, you could have jammed two of them down there and had room on either side.
I know. But it's a fun film.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I own it. I love it, so...
Yeah. So shall we move on to the next film?
Yes, Oh, actually, one thing of note that I would like to say is this apparently... was turned into a musical in Germany, because the original title of the movie,
it went to Broadway and it flopped.
Just wait, I'm getting there. Yep. Was the original movie was called Dance of the Vampires. In Germany, it's released under the same name, only, you know, the German equivalent. And apparently the German version is very good. It's very creepy. It's very melancholy. They actually toned down some of the comedy, evidently. It's very gothic. Well, then they decided to bring it over to America and apparently decided to give it a rewrite because, you know, American audiences are too stupid to get European ideals is apparently what every fucking producer in the world. Exactly. So, you know, they're thinking it's going to be the next, you know, I don't know, what's a good euphemism? Like, it'll be like bringing Phantom of the Opera over, and instead it was like when they tried to bring Red Dwarf over and turn it into an American show.
Yeah.
And I've heard some of the music from it and from the Broadway, and it's not good.
I remember when it came out, and when I was still working in theater, it came out, and everyone was like, oh, this is a good one. And you think they'd learn, because I think right after that, I believe, I don't know, there's some theater geek out there who can, you know, tell me if it was before or after, but I think it was actually before, it was either before or after, but they did Lestat the musical. Which also bombed, which is freaking hilarious.
Shit, I never even heard of that one.
You can find clips of it on YouTube.
Oh, but do I want to?
There are certain songs that are really great, and then there's certain moments where I'm like, what, huh? Musical. It's so gay, and it's so totally like, an emo kid would cream his pants.
Right.
It is. It's like, I'm going to slit my wrists in glee because Lestat the Musical is out. It's just so bad.
What's even funnier is I think that's right around the same time that they tried to do Batman the Musical, too.
They're still working on Spider-Man the Musical.
They need to just stop with this attempt to bring superheroes to the stage.
It's just, they already did Superman once, and I've seen Superman. My sister did a production of it when she was in grad school, and it's so horribly cheesy.
Well, from what I've heard about Batman, it's so bad that it imploded in the hangar.
Yeah, what happened with Spider-Man was they ran out of money.
Oh.
They spent way too much money. A friend of mine is actually a dresser on Broadway.
Right.
And she told me she was looking for work, and she said she wanted to write a cover letter to the people doing Spider-Man and be like, "Dear sir or madam, I would love to be a part of Spider-Man the Musical so I can add the biggest flop in Broadway history to my resume.
No
Thank you."
Shit. Well, the thing is, I mean, you have to think about it. Can you imagine just the special effects work that's going to have to go into that to do Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah. It's a stage show, people.
I mean, shit, they think Phantom of the Opera is a tech-heavy show. Spider-Man would blow that out of the water.
The thing about Phantom is Phantom's still theatrical. You can't really take a comic book. Well, you can, but it will be stupid. There.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. And don't get me wrong, Phantom of the Opera is my favorite Broadway musical ever.
The Phantom of the Opera has theatrical elements you can bring to the stage.
Right.
He's not swinging from building
to building. Exactly. And you can't do a Spider-Man the musical without fucking, you know, web slingers. So I don't know what they thought they were going to do.
I'm sure in the sequel of Phantom of the Opera, he's swinging from building.
Oh, God. Phantom of Manhattan. I heard that book's terrible.
Actually, no. They released a music, a sequel to the musical called Phantom of the Opera 2, Love Never Dies. It's in previews right now.
You are fucking kidding me.
I am not fucking kidding you. Look it up. Google it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to run screaming from that, frankly.
Yeah, it terrifies me. Dude. It terrifies me to know it.
There are some stories.
Totally jumped subject.
Yes. Okay, so Fearless Vampire Killers, I give it a hearty recommend.
I give it a recommend, but you have to be in the right mood for it.
There you go.
That's what I say for that.
Okay, so what do you want to tackle next?
Why don't we tackle Vampires Anonymous since we're on the Vampire Kick?
Another favorite of mine.
And I have my notes open to Vampire Anonymous.
There you go, even better. Now, Vampires Anonymous was something I stumbled across on cable at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Every once in a while, you know, like, when you've got premium cable, every once in a while you'll hit gold and you'll have, like, 3 movies in a row that are really good. And I watched The Hazing, the Chinese version of The Eye, which terrified me, and then this, all in one sitting. That was a good night for Stacey. Yeah, and see, the thing with me is, the vampire genre, see, I like quirky, weird little movies like these. Because the vampire genre for me is so fucking stale.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that.
It's not even stale. It's like, it's not even a stinking corpse anymore. It's a desiccated mummy that needs to be propped up in a museum somewhere. And I'm gonna get shit over this, and I'm gonna alienate all of our listeners, but that's why I like Twilight. Because it took the vampire genre, which was tired, 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 and tried something new with it. For me, it succeeded. For others, it doesn't. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you want to tell me why I suck. I just want you to know something. I have a profound grasp of language, and I will make you cry if you fucking email me. I'm just saying.
She'll totally pick a fight with you. I'm just saying. She'll pick me
up. I will, and I almost got into a fight.
She's looking for fights.
I almost got into a fight at fucking Disneyland, dude. I am not going to back down from this shit. Anyway.
Yeah, that wasn't over Twilight, the fight in Disneyland.
No, and those motherfuckers started it, so.
That was just people being retards.
That would have been beautiful.
But I'm actually not a fan of Twilight. I'm
no, and that's fine. If you don't like it, I don't expect everybody to like it. Yeah.
But
I'm just saying.
I do agree with you in terms of I think the vampire genre can be really stale. It's a popular genre, and unfortunately it's happening to my favorite genre, which is the zombie film.
Yeah, unfortunately that's what it is. You get a popular idea, and it just gets fucking beaten to death.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's happening. And the thing is now vampires, I think, right now are at their peak, and then after the Twilight craze dies down finally, which means it'll die down just like the Harry Potter craze. It's going to be the last books out. The last movie will come out. It's all going to go away. And then we'll be back to more quirky, fun stuff again.
Well, and the thing, too, is the problem, too, with the vampire genre, why it got so stale, I think, is because in terms of horror tropes, it's one of the oldest. You know, think about it. When did Dracula come out? It was the end of the 19th century, maybe the very beginning of the 20th. Whereas,
yeah, it was actually 1930-something, I think, is when it
came out. No, that's when the movie came out. I'm talking about the novel.
About I thought you were talking about
the movie. No, I'm talking about the novel, because the novel was a huge hit.
The, like, the late 1900s.
Yeah, it was like 1898 or something, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good book, too. I recommend reading it. But the thing is it's like zombies. You know, the trope of them as the flesh eater has only been around since the 60s. You know, before that... And that's just it. I mean, you look at it from 60s to what, say...
2010.
I'm thinking, say, 60s...
film that came out.
From, like, 60s to, say, 99, the only person who was really making zombie movies of any note was George Romero. I mean, yeah, you might get your, like,
but
your...
But now it's a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then with popular movies that came out, like the reboot of Dawn of the Dead, which scared me so badly when I saw it.
I love that one.
Fuck, I saw that in a theater, and
I actually talked about it on Creepy Kids. I'm not Creepy Kids. The other one, Sassy Cast.
Sassy Cast, oh, did you? God, I saw that in theaters on opening night, and I swear to God, I think that's the closest I've ever been to having a heart attack. Oh my God, the first 10 minutes of that movie.
I don't care enough, it's scary.
Fuck. Fuck, dude, I have no opinions.
I love that movie.
I really love it, but you know, I haven't seen it since, and I'm afraid to.
Yeah, I watch it religiously. I know it almost by heart.
I need to get it and watch it a couple times because you know how it is. You got to kind of break through the scary.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, like you know, when I first saw The Grudge, scared the shit out of me, and now I can pop it in anytime. Mm-hmm. But
so Vampires Anonymous, yeah, we should shit. Get that
one. Yeah, we should. Anyway,
we're
so
totally everywhere tonight.
So I know. I blame the alcohol, but we know it's not true.
Yeah.
But anyway, to come full circle, basically, because, you know, for me, the vampire genre is stale because it's so damn old. And so you get these neat little movies like Vampires Anonymous, which I don't think was necessarily a send up of the vampire genre as much as it was of, like, the Hammer horror movies like you talked about. The sort of the gothic, the looming gothic overtones, basically. And then you've got Vampires Anonymous, which came out in, I think, what, 2002? Was it even that?
Yeah, no, 2003. It says
2003, okay.
IMDb.
And
IMDb.
This movie is so weird and just cracks me the fuck up at the same time.
It's hilarious, I have to admit. It's one of those movies, I watched it, and the first time I watched it was when... actually, you were visiting.
Yep, and I think
this
I made
was like 3 years ago.
I think it was you and Michelle, wasn't it?
It was me and my old college roommate Michelle, and we, you brought it over, and you're like, "Oh, you gotta watch this; is really good." And I watched it, and I was just kind of like, "Oh,
yeah." Alrighty, when are you going home again?
I don't know why I didn't get it the first time around, but I thought it was just kind of like, "Oh, well, it's got its moments, okay."
I did the same thing with Undead.
Yeah, and then I got it again. I just watched it a couple days ago. On Netflix, it's on streaming on Netflix, by the way, which made me very happy. And so I checked it out and I watched it again. I was on the floor laughing.
Oh God, isn't it great?
So clever.
I love the part where Michael Madsen's character is in his bathroom in his cheetah print jammies, supposed to be talking to him, and he keeps like making faces at himself in the mirror.
So pretty much, like, the movie's about, just really basic, is about the Vic, who is a vampire, he's killed one too many girlfriends in his life, and he decides to go to this support group called Vampires Anonymous.
It's a 12-step
to
program.
To cure or help him cope with his problem in 12 steps.
Yep. And what steps they are.
Oh, they're so funny. And then they end up giving him a test, and he goes to these support groups, and they realize that the best animal for him to eat to avoid eating humans is sheep. So they send him to some backwater sheep town.
In, like, Tennessee or
nowhere.
North Carolina or something like that.
Yeah,
and he's from L.A.
And he's a city boy. And I think my favorite scene is Vic is actually quite a good-looking gentleman.
Yeah, Paul Popovich.
Popovich, which I love that. Popovich.
He's a hunk of Hunkerburn in love right there,
he's
too.
He's actually quite attractive. He's kind of attractive in that Ray Liotta Goodfellas kind of way.
Yeah.
So, and I think my favorite scene is he's, you know, a good-looking guy, and he's so obviously L.A., and they're like, you gotta blend in, buy a straw hat, some overalls, and a truck, and go, you know, type of thing is what they're telling him. And they show the truck in the distance, and then out of the, like, right behind the truck comes this... And you think it's going to be this big badass scene, but he's on a little tiny moped with 50 bazillion mirrors.
They're like a sun ray all around. It's like the rays of the sun all around him. It's like some shitty little Vespa from like the 1950s or something.
Oh, it's so funny. It's a little like moped. It's just like the probably the gayest thing you could possibly ride down the street in Tennessee.
Well, it's not even a moped, is it? It's like an actual scooter.
Because they kept calling it a scooter. It looked like a moped or a Vespa or something like that to me. But I love when he was like talking to the love interest, the girl he falls in love with.
What is her name? Zoe?
Was it Christine?
Give me just a second. I got the DVD right here.
I forgot her name, but he's in love with this girl, and he keeps calling it a scooter. he doesn't say scooter. He says scooter. Are we in Canada? What's going on?
Well, he is actually Canadian, so you never know.
Oh, there you go. Right there. But that was one of my favorite moments. And there's a lot of little moments in this film that really cracked me up that were just kind of silly and really subtle. Like when he first calls Vampire Anonymous and Michael Madsen plays his sponsor, Gino.
Yeah. Her name is Christine, by the way.
Okay, I was right. Cool. And that was his sponsor.
Uh-huh.
So, literally. And they're in the car driving him to his first Vampires Anonymous meeting, and if you listen to the radio calls that's going on over, like, the CB for the driver, you hear this, like, I still haven't heard back on that hamster.
Oh, yeah!
Hamster on that. And I was like, oh my god, and it's so, like, in the background, but I laughed my ass off.
Okay, I'm wrong. Christine is not her name. Christine is one of the vampires that's at the meeting. I want to say she's Penelope? Or no, Maggie!
Maggie,
she's
right.
Maggie. That's who it is.
Okay. Yeah, Maggie.
But yeah, and so basically it's, you know, this poor guy. I love the part where they're testing him. And did you notice, like, like what was on the blood vials?
Yes.
It was, like, skunk, like, sheep, Bigfoot, Elvis.
That was pretty awesome. And what I did like was the whole, and it was just such a throwaway thing, was the vampires were actually out in the daylight through this whole thing, because they use sunscreen.
Right, of course.
And I think my favorite scene ever, not other than, like, the moped scene, there's a lot of my favorite scene ever in this movie.
I know, I'm the same way.
And I died laughing, because he's at the drugstore, and that's where he meets Maggie, and he meets Maggie's, like, co-worker.
Slutty friend.
Slutty friend, quote-unquote, whose name I don't remember, I just remember her as Slutty Friend.
Uh-huh.
And, he's buying all this sunscreen, like, enough to put in a big box, cardboard box, and she's like, hey, that's a lot of sunscreen you're buying. Looks like it involves some fun.
He's just looking at her like, yeah.
What kind of fun? And then later on, she shows up to his house.
That's one of my favorite fucking parts. She's got the bottle of wine.
And sunscreen in the other, and she, like, flicks her tongue at him, and he just slams the door.
No, I love it, because, I think he goes, oh, you've got to be kidding me, or something like that, and then he slams the door.
It is the funniest scene, where he just, like, looks at her and goes, oh, you got to be kidding me, slams the door in her face.
Well, and the thing, too, with poor Vic is he's sick as a dog, because these fucking sheep do not agree with him. I love when he coughs up the cotton balls.
Oh, he keeps coughing up wool.
Yeah, he keeps barfing up wool.
And then there's the sheep fuckers.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. There's, of course, because when you're in Tennessee in a sheep town, there's got to be sheep fuckers.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the locals appreciated that.
I think that I loved the part where it's like the sheep fucker farmers say that.
Yeah, the brothers, I think. They're brothers, aren't they? And one of them's got the bracelet. One of them's got the bracelet with, like, all of the sheep that he's fucked with their tags.
Their little charms.
Uh-huh.
And then that one, like, the opening scene where you realize you're in a farm full of sheep fuckers was the guy screaming his brother's name, and the door opens, and a sheep runs out, and the guy's sitting there with his pants around his ankles wearing a sheep mask.
Yes.
Because, you know, the sheep mask is going to make it easier for the sheep.
Yeah, of course, because why not, right?
Oh, God, that was
awesome. Well, what I love is when...
They put the missing posters for all the sheep around.
Yes, answers to Taffy.
Dead sheep, and the guy's giving him CPR. So wrong.
And these prop sheep are hilarious because they're just flat on their back with four legs straight up in the air.
Straight up in the air, all of them.
Uh-huh.
There's no variation.
Uh-huh. There's no limp little woolly bodies. This is like a sawhorse that's been sprayed with flocking and flipped upside down.
Pretty much.
Well, and what I love is when the sheep fucker catches Vic at it, and Vic's thinking, fuck, I'm caught. And the guy's like, get up on her! I said get up on her, boy! And the look on Vic's face, he's just, and you know, and he's like in full vamp out, he's got the fangs out, and his eyes are all freaky, and he's just like, what the fuck? And finally he's like, my zipper's stuck.
Yes.
I can't get my zipper down.
The sheep fucker brother.
Well, can you blame him, really? My other favorite part of this movie is the support group that continues to meet even while he's in bumfuck nowhere. And what was his name? Juan Carlos, who was supposed to be like the Latin lover vampire.
Oh, God, and his hair's falling
out. And he's like, I used to be so beautiful. And they've got this, like, short, bald, fat guy playing him. And yeah, and he's like,
got this, like, mullet, balding man mullet, like the. It's like all bald on top and it's long in the back.
And it's because his hair keeps falling out from this fucked up diet. And I love the, like, little perky blonde vampire who was apparently a school bus driver who got in trouble because not all of the children were making it home on time.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I take 20 out, 15 come back. Big deal.
It was a look of terror on their face that I loved the most. Well, that and the arterial spray.
And I loved, I loved Juan Carlos, and when they would like talk, you know, they clip back to him. Him talking about his problems, he's all like, I miss my sexy hairy body. The sensuality, the sexiness. And I'm like,
he's all greased up, and he's got like all this chest hair, and oh
he's
my
god. He's not an attractive man.
Oh no, god, I was laughing so hard.
Oh, it was great. There was a lot of great, just mm-hmm. really great moments in that film that just
I have to
up.
Say.
Was...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
My favorite part, though. Is see the problem is Maggie likes Vic and Vic likes Maggie, but Vic is miserable 9 times out of 10, and he's not sure he's afraid to go after Maggie because you know he gets worked up in the passion of the moment. He tends to kill his girlfriend, so he's trying to stay the hell away from her.
Yeah,
and she's got some like ex boyfriend from high school or something who won't leave her the fuck alone.
Yeah.
And then when Vic cock blocks him, the guy gets all pissed off and what they trash his scooter, and Vic just loses his shit. And goes, like, full vampire mode on all of them. That is my favorite fucking part of that movie. He kills all of them. And then there's the one left at the end who's, like, whimpering up in the... Because it's, like, in a junkyard or something. A construction site?
Demolition
right.
area or, like, or mine or something like that. Wherever there's a crane, there has
right,
to be a crane.
Right, right. And the last survivor is, like, whimpering in this crane cockpit. And I think part of the reason why I love this is it's, like, in any other movie, this would have been so very, very ugly. You know, the three overly muscled rednecks with something to prove against the newcomer who's different.
Yeah.
But instead, they opened up their own can of whoop-ass, basically, all over themselves. But so the last survivor is whimpering in the crane, and Vic's talking soothingly to him. And he's like, this isn't your fault, is it, Trevor, or whatever the guy's name was. And this was Justin's fault, wasn't it? Yeah. Don't you wish he hadn't followed him? Yeah. Would you follow him again if given said, you know, given another opportunity? No. And he's like, something about, I can't even remember what it was, but in the end, he just reaches out and cuts his throat, and he goes, well, then in your next life, don't be such a fucking sheep. And then leaves. And that was just like, ah, that was beautiful.
I actually, you were mentioning that scene where the boyfriend, the guy who asked Maggie out on a date, when he attacks her. Mm-hmm. In the restaurant.
Yeah.
And is generally being a...
He basically tries to date rape her on the buffet.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm laughing because I just looked down, because I actually took notes this time around.
Oh, did you?
And I wrote... I just looked down at my notes, and it pretty much said, retarded frat boys, Jimmy, I want his balls in a deep fryer. I must be PMSing. That's all I wrote.
Yeah, he was a delight.
Yeah,
well, you got his proverbial balls in the deep fryer in a couple of scenes.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to go. I wanted his balls.
Oh, yeah.
I was laughing so hard because I was like, either he's a good actor or I'm really hormonal because I was like, I want him dead. And that was right when, of course, my husband comes home from work and he's all up, like, what's up? And I'm like, I want this man dead. And I was like, whoa, I'm going to go in the back room.
I was going to say, I'm going to go play on the computer. You have fun out here in your zone.
Study, honey. You keep watching your cute little movie. It's okay.
Your zone of anger.
Yeah. Stay out of your anger zone. It's all right.
And one thing.
But,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was actually going to bring up probably one of my favorite characters in the movie.
Taffeta.
Yes.
You got to love that bitch.
Is the badass vampire hunter, and I love that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
She was awesome.
She was fucking hilarious.
She stalks and juts around like a porn star, and she dresses like a stripper.
Uh-huh.
And she's so foul-mouthed and angry and disgruntled. I just loved her. And she kind of reminded me of that actress Missy Pyle. She was like a poor man's Pyle.
Yeah, I can see that.
God, she made me laugh. And she was just always talking about how she was never getting paid enough. She had this horrible foul mouth. She was just twitchy and hilarious.
Well,
and
the thing that cracked me up about Taffeta is there was no, like, personal vendetta. She just did it to get paid.
She did it for money. That was it. There was absolutely nothing like, my parents were killed by a vampire.
Uh-huh.
It was like, this is what pays. She could probably be a stripper if it paid more than being a slayer.
The thing about the Taffeta character that cracks me up is that she is the exact character that if there was like some wacky popular sitcom where a boy and a girl are trying to get together, she would be the girl's best friend who kept cock blocking the dude.
Yeah.
And she has been basically transplanted into this movie and given a crossbow and told to kill vampires.
She was, yeah, pretty much the vampire cock blocker when you get right down to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved her. I loved the scene where she's trying to corner Vic and she's interviewing him, more or less, at the restaurant.
Oh, right. And he eats the garlic.
And she's just like, yeah, I'm doing an Eligible Bachelor's human life, you know, human slice of life piece. Just sit down and listen to me. And she's, like, so aggressive and so disgruntled and twitchy. And she's wearing this, like, corset and long black elbow gloves. Just like, no, that's not inconspicuous at all, no.
No, not in the slightest. You totally blend in this small town.
And I think my favorite part is when she reaches over and grabs his hand and said, did you have any childhood traumas? And Vic looks at her and gets all teary-eyed and said, my mother made me wear tough skins.
So you know why that's funny? My mother made my older brother wear tough skins.
Yeah, my cousin had to wear tough skins.
He had to wear husky boy pants.
I can understand the trauma.
And then he eats the garlic. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was a really fun film. I'm not really going to give away more to it, because the ending's really cute and unexpected.
Yes, yes. And that was actually one reason why I really liked it, because the thing is I went through, I think, the same vampire phase that most girls go through at about 17, 18. It's basically where all of the obnoxious Twilight fans are now, essentially.
Yeah, well, vampires we all totally are... go through that in high school.
Oh, I totally did. I was going to write the next great vampire novel, and we're just not even going to get into that, but basically, you know, it was this wildly romantic character, and so I went through this phase where every fucking vampire movie I could find, like at our local mom and pop video store, I would check out, especially if it had some kind of a romantic twist, and every motherfucking one of those movies ended the same way, and I was really afraid this one was going to do it too, and it didn't, and I really appreciated that.
I was surprised. I mean, honestly, it was kind of one of those, well, like, that's really the only way it could end.
I know.
It was pleasantly surprising to see that they didn't go the route that was expected of them, that just every single vampire movie, comedy or not, always went in.
Exactly.
And it didn't need that. I think that's one of the things that won me over about the film in the end, was I was like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just it's a charming as hell movie.
It's very charming. It's very funny. It's got a lot of sheep fucker jokes.
Oh, yeah.
It's got, did you notice actually one of the sheep fuckers was wearing sheep pajamas?
How appropriate.
That was so great. It's got a lot of things where they kind of take, it's not really a satire and it's not really a spoof. It's just kind of its own little thing.
Yeah, it's just its own goofy little take on it. And Michael Madsen, who is a vampire, who I think is also working for the mob, isn't he? He's like a hitman for the mob.
And like that scene where he's at home
in the pajamas,
and these guys in suits drive up with the car and there's like noises coming from the trunk that are obviously human.
And he is, like, the most ineffectual sponsor.
Oh, he's horrible.
He doesn't listen to fucking anything Vic says.
He pretty much just goes, yeah, let's suck it up and get over it.
That's pretty much. Well, I did it, so you can do it. And he keeps eating his wife's birds, because that's what he's been matched for, is birds.
Yes.
And his wife is human and has absolutely no idea.
And he has two kids with her, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he has kids. It's so funny, and she's just, like, clueless about it.
And she's
it.
Sort of this stupid blonde bimbo, basically, but...
I think she knows about the mob, and she doesn't know about him being a vampire.
No, she knows about the mob, because she gets all pissed off when she finds his gun in the house. And he's freaking out, because he thought she saw him with his fangs out.
Yeah.
No, the part that I loved, too, was at the beginning when, you know, Gino picks up Vic, and he's giving him the wet nap to wipe off the blood. And then he's like, you know, I'm going to keep this. I'll keep this for you. And the thing is you can tell he's cheating on his own 12-step program. Because you know what he did with that wet nap. And
and he doesn't care. He's totally. And out of all the vampires in the support group, he's the only one that's like rosy-cheeked.
Yep, probably because he's cheating. Well, and the other thing that's great, too, is you don't get into, like, the tortured past of the vampire. You know, you don't know how, you know, Vic is old, but you know, I don't think they ever say how old he is, do they?
124.
Oh, was it? Oh, you're right. Okay. But there's no, like, story of how he was changed or anything. He's just, you know, he's a guy who happens to be a vampire, and he'd really like to stop killing the women he loves, basically.
Yeah, I that's what I think I liked so much about it, was it just never went into that tortured emo period. I think the worst it ever got was the fact that he didn't want to eat Maggie, and he would handcuff himself to a chair when she slept all asleep.
Yeah, I thought that was actually kind of sweet, because he's, like, worrying at the handcuffs and looking at her forlornly, and...
Yeah, but it was done really comically. It was not like, oh, my heart's breaking. It was just funny.
No, I mean, basically all the scene was missing was him going, like a puppy.
Totally.
Well, and the other part I love, too, is when she does figure out that he's a vampire. And he kidnaps her for her own good.
Yes. And she takes it really well. She's not panicking. She's not crying. He ties her to a chair, and she's just like, seriously?
Oh, yeah, and he's like, the whole thing, what are you afraid your sorority sisters are gonna find out? Oh, look, there goes the vampire fucker, and she's like, no, I'm afraid you're gonna eat me.
It was so funny. She was so calm about it all. She was just like, I think that's when the character of Maggie really won me over, because I was expecting to be like, I'm so sweet and innocent and perfect.
Yeah,
and
this
just,
bullshit sweetness and light shit.
And when he finally does that confrontation with her, and she's just like, you motherfucker, what are you, an idiot? I fell in love with her right there. I was like, okay, you know what, you're a cool character.
Well, and Vic, man, he was twitchy as hell in some scene. Like, he's trying to make amends for going off the wagon, and he digs up the corpses, and he's trying to apologize to them, and he's getting mad because they're not accepting his apology.
My favorite was it was after he was trying to get used to, like, you know, eating the sheep, and he's all pale and tragic and twitchy, and he's starving because he ate too many sheep, and so they told him not to eat any more sheep for a while and just lay off everything. So it's obviously that he hasn't eaten in forever, and that mouse gets loose in the kitchen where he's working.
Oh, and he's going after it.
And he's chasing the mouse, and then all of a sudden he's like on his knees, and he starts doing the little mouse animal call. But it wasn't like a dubbed over mouse voice. It was him just going. Worst high pitched noise I've ever heard. And the mouse comes scurrying out, and he pounces on it like a cat. It's just so funny.
Well, and I love when he's on the phone and he's just screaming at Gino. I don't want to eat sheep anymore. You know what? Sheep tastes like shit.
Yeah. That was so.
And I think that's when Gino's like not paying any attention to him, and he's like, and he's at himself in the mirror.
He's making his faces. He's like, you know, total vampire faces.
His scary vampire faces.
Oh God, it was so funny.
He doesn't even have the phone up to his ear. Yeah.
It's a good film. It's definitely worth checking out. I honestly, I think out of the three, this one was my favorite.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Well,
it's
a great, fun, quirky little movie, and you can get it for pretty cheap on Amazon. I think I got it for like $8.
And if you don't want to get it, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, so there you go. Go check it out.
And on Netflix streaming as well, if you have an Xbox, PlayStation, or now the Wii.
Exciting! Or just a computer.
It's a good film. It's definitely highly recommended by me.
Yeah, solidly acted, too. There were no sour notes that I can think of.
Yeah, everyone in it was really a good actor, really believable. And it's not a horror film in terms of it's scary. In fact, it never tries to be scary.
Uh-uh.
It has horror elements, obviously, because it's about a vampire. But it's much more strictly a comedy.
Right, well, it's kind of like how, you know, Shaun of the Dead is described as a romantic comedy with zombies. This is basically a romantic comedy, except one of the participants happens to be a vampire.
Exactly. It's very quirky.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
So if you like that sort of thing, I actually think even guys like it. My husband actually really liked it when we first saw it. He liked it more than I did when we first watched it.
Uh-huh.
And, but he also likes the vampire genre because he used to be a goth, and I like to make fun of him for that.
Dude, you got
to
dig up pictures of that. I got to see him with the white face paint and the guy liner.
I don't have any, unfortunately.
Oh, you got to find some. Talk to his dad. Somebody must have pictures.
Yeah. I totally like hit my mic. Sorry.
Well done.
Yay. Mark quality.
You skanky hoe. I'd hit my microphone, but it's... Well, dude, I dropped my computer last episode.
You
I really wouldn't
the computer,
worry about it.
So you know what? Me just elbowing my mic isn't gonna, you know.
I think it's a forgivable sin in all things.
I think so.
In all earth.
So are we wrapping up Vampires and
Yeah, high recommend for me. I really recommend all three of these movies.
I do too, but this one probably gets my highest recommendation.
Yeah, well, Vampires Anonymous is just, it's just a fun, silly movie.
It is.
And it, so, it never takes it itself seriously, so.
Exactly. So our final film. The only non-vampire film.
Yeah, pretty much. Instead we went for zombies.
Yes.
And beating the shit out of fish.
Undead. And I do believe that was from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Or Australia.
I think it was New Zealand.
New Zealand or Australia.
Shit, now I don't remember. Hang on, I'm gonna... Yeah,
it
2003.
It actually says Australian here on Internet Movie Database. Does so it even,
yeah, that might... I think you're right, actually.
2003.
Same
and
year.
And I found out that it's actually the same people who did Daybreakers, too, which I've never seen, so...
Yeah, that one that just came out with Hermione from Harry Potter?
I don't know if she was in it. It was the whole vampire film that came out last
where everybody's
year.
A vampire and they've got the supplement, but it's running out.
Was
Hermione? Yeah, yeah.
I totally didn't know that.
The chick, she was like one of the few humans or something, and I never saw it, but from the previews, it looked like maybe Ethan Hawke's character was in love with her.
Ethan Hawke was in it, but I didn't know that Emily Watson was in it.
Yeah.
Huh. Learn something new every day. So, I haven't seen it at all, so...
No, I haven't either. I thought it looked like an interesting premise, though.
Yeah, we were going to go see it, and we have no money, so that's kind of took care of that.
Preaching the choir there, dude.
Yeah. So, Undead is pretty much, once again, very... brief synopsis. It's just this small Australian town
very
where
small like
fall and
bumfuck
turn
small.
People into zombies, and there's a small group of people who are quite hilarious pretty much trying to survive,
right?
And
the survivors.
It's more than just that. It actually has some really interesting little twists here and there. Like, I really liked the whole idea of how the zombies came to be.
Yeah, I did too,
sort of
actually. And that was my problem was when I first watched it, I caught it on cable and it was like, you know, hilarious zombie romp. And I watched it and I wasn't paying strict attention to the movie, which was, it's not like a subtly nuanced classic, but you do kind of need to pay attention to be able to, because the story, it's not convoluted, but it's a little strange. So you do need to kind of pay attention so you can follow it. But for some reason, I think it was like you with Vampires Anonymous the first time. The first time I watched it, I couldn't wait for it to be over. It was just like, what the fuck am I watching?
It's a little weird. When I first saw it, I rented it years and years ago.
Right.
And I picked it up, and I just kind of read the back of the thing, and it wasn't actually billed at all as a comedy. And the cover of the DVD looks actually kind of serious.
Yeah, with her in the gas mask with the...
And the synopsis... This is actually, you know, pretty basic zombie film, and I thought it was going to be a serious zombie film. So I sat down and watched it, and I was totally blown away that it was so funny. And I think that's what I was excited about, was that it was a quirky, strange little zombie comedy that I really enjoyed. And I was like, oh my god, this is hilarious. I just got to sit back and enjoy the goofiness.
Well, and the interesting thing about it, too, is I don't think it's derivative of Shaun of the Dead. I think Shaun of the Dead and this... came out at the same time.
Probably, well, this is 2003. Don't remember when. Actually, I think Shaun of the Dead came out after this came out.
I think you're right.
Just because I'm just going totally by the fact that I was dating my husband at the time, and then that was after I graduated.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead was 2004. It came out the year after this did.
Yes, so, but, I mean, this was a small film. I don't think it really even got wide release, if released, in the U.S., and it has actually nothing to do with Shaun of the Dead. There's nothing in common with
No. I just assumed when I first saw it that it was riding on the coattails, basically. And that's incorrect because it actually predates it. That's all I was trying to say is that it's not a ripoff. But here's something weird for you on this movie. It is written and directed by a set of identical twin brothers.
That's kind of weird and creepy.
Yeah, Michael and Peter Spierig.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
The more you know.
And I think the two brothers also directed Daybreakers.
Yeah, they did do Daybreakers. It was the same team. I just didn't know that they were twin brothers. I
yep,
figured they
identical
were related
twins.
Since they had the same last name. But I liked Undead just simply because it was extremely done in this over-the-top, really melodramatic way.
Very, very Australian, too.
It was extremely Australian.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, it has no horror elements, but it's called Eagle vs. Shark. It's got one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords in it.
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh, you should check it out. If you want to talk about a weird, quirky romance, that's definitely it. But the thing is it's like the two movies have absolutely nothing in common other than their origin, you know, their country of origin. But if you sat down and watched both of these movies, you would guess they were both Australian. I don't know what it is, but there is something to the film quality of Australian movies that, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, but I can just instantly peg it as an Australian movie. Or New Zealand, because a lot of the early Peter Jackson stuff has kind of the same
Yeah.
feel to
There's
it.
this kind of crude, but it's weird. I hesitate to say crude
Well,
because
it
it's
is.
not. There's something raw about their humor that I really like about
Right.
a lot of comedies out of Australia. That I there's they've got a really bawdy sense of
Yeah, and
humor,
I
which I
have the
love.
same sense of humor, so I'm fine with that. But it's more than just like the sense of humor. It's like there's something about the look of the movies. Like I don't know if it's like a common film stock that's used down there or what, but there is something about the look of Australian movies that you can peg it. I don't know why, but
I agree with you on that. They all kind of have a similar feel to them, and look to them. There's a visual quality about them that just kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's
Yeah.
the accent. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the accent does tend to give it away,
The accent helps. But
but
I really liked Undead. Like I said, I thought Vampires Anonymous was better. And this one is another one that starts to get a little laggy in the middle, and you're kind
Right.
of like, come on, let's go and get on with it, you know, type of thing. But the kills in this
Oh,
film
are fucking hilarious.
are awesome, and the effects are really good. I mean, most of it you can kind of tell is CGI, but it's
Well,
not bad
no,
CGI.
the impressive thing too is, I mean, this movie had a budget of like $3. And
Yeah,
I
it was two shiny
think
nickels is
the
what they had.
brothers did most of the CGI effects themselves on their home computers.
And it's really well done.
Yeah, and when you
It's
look at it from
actually
that
better than.
perspective, that's way better than you should be able to get out of a home computer.
It actually makes me laugh because I was thinking to myself while watching this, I was like, you know, the effects in this are actually better than the effects in Diary of the Dead, which was made on a big budget,
Oh, really?
and
I haven't
later
seen
on, the
Diary of the
better
Dead yet.
technology. Oh, God, it fucking
That's
sucked.
what
I'm
I've
sorry.
heard. That's really too bad because I'm the only
It
person on
made
the
me
planet, but I
angry.
liked Land of the Dead.
I liked Land of the Dead too,
You
but
guys are
Diary of the Dead pissed me off. And the sad part is, I really like that kind of found footage shaky cam genre a
right.
lot. Was really excited for it, and I just wanted to. I was just like, I wanted to hug George Romero and just, you know, go, honey, no, let's do something else.
Yeah, what's the
These.
one, the next one that's.
Oh, Survival of the Dead. I really know
Yeah, I'm
nothing
not
about
hearing
that at
great
all.
things about that one either, actually.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, I'll probably catch it sometime. More than likely, it'll be on Fearnet on demand, so.
Right. Well, I'm curious to see Diary of the Dead, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody give it a
Catch
positive
it on
review.
cable.
Oh yeah, no,
Don't
I
fucking
wouldn't
rent
rent
it.
it or anything, but if it came on.
Yeah. So, Undead, I gotta say, my favorite character was Marion.
Oh yeah.
He
You gotta
was,
respect a
and
man who
I'm.
punches a fish.
He was totally like super ninja zombie killer fisherman guy, and I was laughing at him because I think you might be one of the few people who will get this. Was it me or did he look like Torgo?
Yes. Oh
Thank
my
you,
God,
thank you.
yes.
He
He
looked
was
like
like
Torgo from One of the
Torgo with
Stands of
nice
Fate.
pecs.
The first time I saw him, I was like, "It's Torgo. It's Torgo if he was a
Yeah,
ninja."
pretty
It was
much.
like,
If Torgo had been a
and.
fisherman instead of a creepy goat man working for the master, it would have been Marion.
Oh yeah, I was laughing because I'm looking through my notes and it's like everything has something to do with Marion. Like, just totally. Marion, is he a master ninja? Marion, does he look like Torgo? Marion, is a Fu master? And it
Well,
just
you know
keeps
what's even
going.
funnier is the guy who plays Marion, the actor's name is Mungo.
And I don't understand why you would name your child
Don't ask
Mungo.
me, Mungo McKay.
Mungo is only pawn in game of life. That's all.
I'm just thinking of Blazing Saddles personally.
That's exactly, yeah.
Candygram
Mongo. He's not big enough to be named Mongo. Shouldn't he be like this giant hulking, you know, mass of
Yeah, I
man
don't know.
flesh?
He wasn't small, but
But I
yeah,
also like the
generally,
fact
I would
that.
think you have to be at least 7 feet tall to be able to pull off the name Mungo. But yeah.
I really liked him. I thought Mirror character, he was like, they totally took the whole mysterious you know, gunslinging zombie hunter and made him, like, a total dorky fisherman.
Well, yeah, he was essentially, I really get the impression that he was, like, the Australian fishing town equivalent of, like, a redneck.
Yeah, he was kind of the creepy guy that lives down the road that nobody wants to talk
right.
to.
Well, and there was the whole thing, too, where the town thought he was crazy.
Well, because of the zombie
the fish, and he'd been abducted by the aliens and all of that, but...
Yeah.
And you gotta respect a man who punches a fish.
You know, and I loved that scene.
Oh god, that was hilarious.
So pretty much we find out, spoiler alert, if you don't want to listen to it, just fast forward to the end of this damn podcast, because
yeah,
we're
pretty
probably
much.
Gonna spoil the shit out of this film. Pretty much what we find out is that the asteroids fall, the asteroids, you know, kill people, and the asteroids turn people into zombies,
and then this
cetera,
burning
et cetera,
rain starts to fall.
Which actually is supposed to be, do you want to go into that?
No, go ahead. The rain is actually a cure.
Yeah, but they don't think it's a cure. And actually, the audience doesn't think it's a cure because it, like, sets the clothes on fire, or they think they're burning and all this, but
right.
I don't think they really were.
No,
and,
well, no, they said because their clothes would start smoking. But then they'd start dousing themselves with water, but one of the characters said at one point, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And so I think they were just scared, understandably, because their clothes started fucking steaming when they came in contact with it.
Dead people running after you and your clothes are smoking. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd freak out too. So pretty much we find out it's aliens that actually come down to space and go, oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, pretty much. We fucked up.
I mean, that's pretty much it. But I loved Marion because he was this, you know, the badass redneck fisher guy, and I love the fact that, you know, he owns a weapon shop, apparently, which we never see. Apparently the weapon shop is his house.
Yeah, well, he had a bait shop, I think.
It was bait and weapons.
Yeah, and I think once it happened, it's like he went more towards weapons because he was waiting for it to happen again. Because he had that badass, like, three-barreled shotgun.
Yeah, and my favorite is when he handed the barrel shotgun off to someone and the zombies come in, and he literally, like, pulls his arms out and two guns shoot
yes.
out of spring-loaded overalls.
Yes, this
them.
Guy had guns everywhere. You know, he reminded me a lot of Tallahassee from Zombieland. Every time, like, something would come up, he would pull these guns out of fucking nowhere. And it always reminded me of the scene at sort of the climax of Zombie Town or Zombieland when Tallahassee's locked himself into the little... carnival game kiosk, and he's doing like the slow mo.
Like
it totally reminds me of this.
My favorite gun scene with Marion was when it was after they all got caught in the burning rain and they were all stripped naked, and then we find out that Marion goes commando.
Yes.
Because everyone walks by in their underwear, and then Marion comes by and you just see his ass.
Yep.
The nice ass, too. Mongo,
he had a nice chest, too, actually.
Mongo was kind of hot.
Yeah, in a strange way, he was.
He needs to take the hat off and not look like Torgo, because I was kind of like, you're kind of hot, and the fact that you kind of look like Torgo is kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, there's like a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like Torgo, the pre-master years.
Well, and the weird thing about this movie, too, is I could never figure out if Renee was supposed to be attracted to him or not. Because
she was, but they didn't really play that up, which I liked. So
well,
Renee
it's like...
the lead. Character,
right,
so.
And she just always acted, like, really unsure around him, but then they'd have these, like, lingering close-ups of, like, raindrops cascading down his furred manly chest, you know? And it's just like, dude, does she want to bone him or not? I'm so confused.
I think she kind of wants to bone him, but they never really, like, you know, let in that, and I kind of liked that because it didn't go into that whole stereotypical...
Right. I'll sacrifice myself to save you kind of bullshit.
Yeah. And, but what I was saying was, you know, you find out that Marion goes commando, and they go into that store, and they redress, and they get new clothes, and, you know, and pretty much they were all almost completely butt naked, and then they get dressed again, and more zombies come out, and the zombies come running, he literally, like, bends over, two guns shoot out of his pants.
Yes.
And he grabs. I was like, and then one guy looks at him and goes, where have you been hiding those?
Yes, I really think that the man was like... He somehow just, like, generated guns from his body.
Yeah, he had, like, an anal cavity escape kit or something.
Maybe he was part kangaroo and we just never saw the pouch. I don't know.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I loved him. He was definitely my favorite character just because he was so serious.
Uh-huh.
I loved him. And he always had his hat on, even when, like, all the acid, like, ruined his clothes or whatever.
He's still sitting there.
He still had that.
He just starts sloshing water over the hat.
And he even had the hat on his wedding day, in that picture they showed of him, and his wife.
Yeah, and she scrawled, like, cunt or something across his face.
Arsehole.
Yeah, that was it, arsehole.
His face all scrawled, but he still has the hat and the powder blue tuxedo.
Yep, the hat and the pimp tuxedo.
Yeah.
Can't imagine why that marriage didn't last.
And I gotta admit, I really loved the leading woman, Renee.
Yeah.
She was really character. She had the most beautiful eyes I've ever
seen.
She
was really pretty, very striking.
And she did a lot of eyeball acting, which I loved, because she just had these great big eyes, and she would just,
peer anxiously around corners and stuff like that,
And it worked for this movie.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally. I liked her character a lot, too, because they didn't go hardcore, like, they didn't drag the movie down with explaining a lot of background. You just got hints at stuff, like, you knew she'd lost the family farm, her parents had died fairly recently, and she had become Miss the Berkeley Queen, the Fish Queen, or something. Yeah, that was it, Miss Catch of the Day. But she was just using it as a stepping stone, I think, to get the hell out of Berkeley.
Yeah, they had all this debt, and everyone was kind of an asshole in that town.
The one I fucking hated was the pregnant bitch, who had been the previous Miss Catch of the Day.
Oh, she was kind of a whore.
She was a cow. Oh, I hated her. I don't remember what her name was. Her baby daddy's name was Wayne. I remember that.
Yeah, I used to just call her whiny bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
All I remember calling her, because I was just like, shut up.
She, like, basically just, she was all butthurt because, I think Sally Ann, was that who that was?
Sally Ann.
Okay.
You're right.
She was all butthurt, basically, because I think what happened was she got pregnant and then lost the crown. And then Renee won it.
Renee got it after that, and I think it was something to do with, like, Renee was, like, first runner-up or something, and then, you know, had to give up the crown, or didn't give up the crown, that she ended up getting the crown
because the former Miss Catch of the Day couldn't keep her legs out of the air, apparently.
Yeah.
And so she was all, like, butthurt over that, and just the snarkiest
you wanted to slap her. Oh, yeah, and you wanted to strangle her husband, too. Like, that whole opening.
I don't think he was, like, her husband. I think he was just her baby daddy.
Oh, he totally ran off and left her ass.
Oh, yeah,
ass out on the road, and then came back and was like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have left her, and went running back. And you're like, you jackass.
Yeah, true love there, baby, true love. I don't think they were married. I think he was just her baby daddy, and the impression I got was that that had something to do with why she lost the crown.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they were married, but I just laughed at the fact that he just left her out there on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely a stud.
And the gore was so fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the kills in this movie where the Renee's agent,
Captain Date Rape. Oh, my God.
He'd chew his gum and laugh, and he'd be like, nah, nah.
Well, you knew. You knew the minute they got out of town, he was going to assault her. You knew it.
Oh, you know,
and she knew it. She was just trying to get out of town.
And he would be like, hey, so, want me to buy you breakfast?
Yeah, pretty much. So I could put this roofie in it?
Oh, he was gross. He was so gross. And so he ends up getting turned into a zombie, and she, or Marion comes in and shoots him, and he's nothing but a torso and a spine, and the spine is, like, sticking up out of the hips, and the legs are still walking around.
Right, and he's, like, crawling around. Well, he shows up again at one point. Did you catch that?
Well, because he put himself back together.
Exactly,
somehow.
And I think she knocked him over again.
Yes.
So he was, like, scrabbling around on the floor again. My personal favorite was the old lady that I think owned the airfield that Wayne worked at, who got the...
Oh, the aunt?
Yeah, or whatever, who got punched right through the head by that little girl.
The little girl punches her through the head
and starts eating her brain. That was, like, that one, and then the old lady getting creamed by the meteor, I think, were my two favorites.
Oh, God, that was the funniest. I loved it when she got creamed by the meteor. I'm laughing because I'm all, ha-ha, death, but it's funny.
And then she goes right back up and starts attacking people.
Well, I loved it because it happened all in the background, too. So you see the two, like, drunk guys in the foreground having their completely meaningless conversation.
Arguing over something
then
stupid.
You see this meteor come by and just totally, like, cream this little old, sweet little old lady with her sun hat and her sundress holding the groceries, and she just goes down. Like, and it was so funny because it was like, what the fuck?
Well, especially since for like the first few minutes you had kind of followed her through her day. Like yes. Going into the store and everything.
Yeah, they're like, oh, so-and-so had her first baby.
I know. How are you, darling? You know, blah, 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 and then bam, Meteor Chow.
Yes, it was awesome. It was so awesome. It was some great effects in that movie. And even, like, the scenes where they had all the bodies, you know, floating, all the cured, yeah. quote-unquote, people.
The, like, in suspended floating. Animation thing.
Yeah, it was really well done. I was really impressed with what these guys could do. I mean, if they did that on their home and computer, that was better than a lot of movies that are out right now.
Hell yeah. Sci-Fi Channel wishes they had that technology.
Yeah. And I think there was also the asshole cop.
Yeah.
His little, like...
with his tiny, upsetting bike shorts.
Yes.
And his porn. Yeah, he was essentially like the Australian straight version of Lieutenant Dangle. He even had the same mustache.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he used fuck in every other word.
Yeah.
Like every other word. Fucking with the fucking this, fuck this. Like every other word, he'd be like, you could just see him in everyday life. Get some fucker dacks to eat for my fucking lunch. Fuck you, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, the funny thing, too, is. At least according to IMDb, supposedly there was no cussing in the dialogue.
Really?
No, that was all ad-libbing.
My God. Good for you, sir, for working fucking in the most creative ways.
Pretty much. Somebody's got a potty mouth.
Oh, just a little bit.
Just a scooch.
I think my favorite line he said, and it was kind of a throwaway line, but it really tickled me, was they were talking about, oh, there's zombies everywhere, da da da, and he said, well, you know, some people hallucinate when they panic. I know I do.
Yeah, yeah, which is like, I'm so glad you've got a gun, dude.
I'm so glad that you're the chief of police, sir.
Exactly.
That was a great line. I loved that. And he was just a douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He was such a douchebag.
Well, and at the beginning, there was the... Because there was the female cop who was, like, her very first day on the force, and she was replacing... She was replacing the chick who had just quit and was like, what was it? She said, it was like, I'd rather work in my parents' shop.
I'd rather work back at the big shop than work with him again.
Yeah, exactly. Than work with that monster or something to that effect.
He was a douche.
He was terrible!
They blew the hole in the floor to go down to the garage in this two-story house.
Oh, yeah, and he sends his...
His and he rookie, sends Molly down
yeah,
instead.
He sends his rookie partner down to check it out.
He's such a douchebag.
We got us a winner.
Son of a bitch. And then I think the part where I literally laughed until I fell down was the whole thing with the aliens. There's these mysterious aliens, and you know, and they look typically like the big owl-eyed, you know, big head aliens.
Right,
you
know, right. Very like cocoon looking.
Yeah, and he's kind of like, and he like wearing robes, and the alien like pulls off his robe dramatically and pulls off the robe completely, and then like pulls off this mask he was wearing, and he's standing there looking like a you know, full-fledged alien and talking, and not really talking, but trying to like communicate with Renee.
Uh-huh.
About trying to tell her, hey, you know, the rain's not gonna kill you, it's gonna heal you, and Renee gets it, and she shoots up into the suspended animation with everyone else, and the other alien who's hooded turns to him and goes, could you put your clothes on now?
And yeah, he's like,
I'm comfortable with who
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, he's like, I have to be myself or some shit like that.
He goes, I'm comfortable with who I am. I laughed so hard. I was like, are you shitting me? That was like a South Park joke. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, you know, that's actually hilarious because I kept getting these aliens... This is so stupid. I kept getting these aliens confused... Was it the first South Park episode where Cartman had the satellite dish up his ass?
Yeah, I kept doing the same thing.
I kept thinking this was the movie where he said, oh, that was Carl's bad, and Carl's like, sorry, my bad, I'm new here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, no, that's South Park, you dipshit, not this movie.
But it's kind of the same idea, too. It's kind of the aliens going, oh, sorry, our bad, we didn't mean to turn y'all into zombies.
Pretty much, yeah. If you would just...
And I love what... Wayne's flying on the plane over all the town, and there's all the suspended animation people, and you fly and you're like, oh, there's the neighbor, there's the person, is that a cow? There's a cow.
Uh-huh.
One random cow.
Because why not, right?
Apparently, I'm wrong. I guess Emma Watson wasn't in Daybreakers, but I swear to God, I saw her in the previews.
Maybe it's someone who looked a lot like I guess like so.
She was also English.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I heard it was actually kind of fun, so.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I'll give it a watch, but.
Yeah, you never know. You know, Undead was kind of fun, so maybe this one will be kind of fun, too. I don't
exactly.
think it's going to be the knee-slapping comedy that Undead was.
Probably not, but you never know. Yeah.
But there was, the only thing that my only complaint about the film was it did lag, right after they got out of the bunker and they found the alien wall and all that. It started to really kind of drag, and you're like, get on with it, yeah, we get it, aliens, yeah, okay. And then once it started to pick up again, once they got another zombie attack, but there was it felt like a really long period in between zombie attacks where I'm like, I don't care about... I hate to say this, but I'm like, I don't care about character development with these characters.
No, but this isn't really a movie that needs character development, or at least keep it to the minimum. You know, you want to watch zombie mayhem, not...
Yeah, they had just enough character development to make it everyone interesting, but there didn't need to be much more than was needed. And since we're spoiling the shit out of this movie anyway, the very end... where pretty much it's Renee and the final survivors of this plague thing. I love the fact that they shoot her. One, she had some kick-ass boots, and I loved her boots, and that's with the spurs. And two, did you notice that she decided to put makeup on?